So, Barry, what do you think? Do you know what? There were times in that show where I thought maybe this was not the career for us. And there were times where I thought, actually, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I wasn't far from my best, such as it is, because I've got my summer cold.
Oh, okay.
I'm sniffly, my chest hurts. Do you notice?
Yeah.
What do you always give out to me for doing during the news?
Smoking.
Did you notice?
You didn't go for a cigarette.
Exactly.
Maybe
that's how ill I feel.
Is the cigarette the thing that actually powers you? To quality
nicotine.
Broadcasting. Yeah.
So anyway, I was at a low ebb at points during that show.
No, but I think you pulled it together. I think, you know, we don't need to overanalyze it. Last week was a real high quality show. Today, just down a point or two. But
running a fever, coughing.
Yeah. Sniffling. We've only got one show left until our summer break, though.
Yeah. Well, I'll hopefully be back in. The very best of health.
Okay, well, look, here's a pretty average version of our show. But
well,
look,
I think once you take out all the rubbish bits, it'll be a decent half hour of podcast.
Yeah, if you can take out that bit when I sang the whole grandstand theme, that would be quite good. Have a great week, everybody. Here's our show. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the world's biggest sports radio station. This is TalkSport. My name is Max Rushton. A really exciting show this week. Alongside me, top Guardian journalist Barry Glendenning. Barry, how are you? Pumped? Excited?
I can't wait. I'm beside myself.
if you keep up that sort of high octane level, I'm not sure we'll be able to keep it together.
Whoop, whoop!
It's a special show today, Barry.
We need one of those radio shows where we've got a posse, you know, who could.
I think essentially you're meant to be my.
Am I your posse?
You're my posse.
Oh, okay, so I should like be ringing bells and whooping, cheering.
You need one of those.
Asking you how much you drank last night.
You need like a penny whistle, don't you? As well.
A kazoo.
When the jokes go well, or they go flat. So today's the Yannick Bolasie special, Barry, isn't
it?
We spent all last week getting
building up the listeners'. Sense of expectation,
it's
excitement.
Very, very rare you get a current Premier League football. It's very hard. A lot of hoops you've got to jump through. And so we've built up for it. So we're going to do it, aren't we?
Yes.
Now, there is one slight hitch, isn't it? I mean,
it's a very minor problem.
It's a very... The only... Because... So,
it kind of reminds me a bit of the time some of my friends and family at home in Ireland threw a surprise birthday party for me.
Yeah.
I didn't make it.
Why not?
I missed my flight.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know there was a party.
I see.
Anyway, you know, but they had it anyway. And
they had a good
by
time.
By all accounts, it was a tremendous success in my absence. As some might say, even better than it would have been if I'd been there.
So what we're sort of leading up to is to say that this is the Yannick Bolasie special. Actually, Yannick came to us and I think, you know, some of his people, he likes TalkSport, he wanted to do something with us and he's, you know, out injured and rehabbing and we were like, well, let's just do a show, you know. And
footballers always talk about how boring rehab is.
Exactly.
He's probably bored.
Yeah. So he just wanted to join in and we were like, yeah, sure, you know, we're pretty open. We're kind of like, we're the stepping stone for people to make it big at TalkSport.
Prutton.
You know,
various producers,
exactly,
assistant producers.
Lethal Bizzle. Miles McClagan, all these people have gone to great broadcasting careers. It was quite a short list we just came up with there, Barry. But anyway, we stay in the same place. It's where we're happy. Circumstances beyond everyone's control means that Yannick isn't here. That's what we're building up to. But that doesn't mean we're not going to do the Yannick Bolasie special. It is a minor detail. And he is going to come back in the autumn to do the show. So in many ways, what we can do is learn...
Is he or is that just one of those showbiz promises to fob us off?
And we hope by the autumn, the listeners aren't switching on thinking, hang on, it's the autumn. I'm sure 3 months ago...
And Yannick
Bolasie
is hoping we'll have forgotten by the autumn. But we won't forget, Yannick.
Well, we could... What, you're suggesting we do...
I've already marked autumn on my calendar.
On your yearly planner on the wall.
Yeah, big X through autumn.
Well, look, if we build up to it, the point is, the longer we build up to it, when it eventually happens, the bigger, or perhaps the bigger the anticlimax it'll be. So anyway, look, Yannick isn't here. Doesn't mean we're not going to do the features that we suggested that we would do. We're just going to do them, and Barry will play the... On occasion, Barry will play the role of Yannick. Now, you went to the post room, didn't you?
Yes. You say the post room, the pigeonhole. We don't have our own pigeonhole.
No, we don't.
Where mail is delivered to TalkSport. I suspect much of it often abusive, written in green ink, in the classic crank correspondence style. But, there's a weekend cubbyhole.
Mm-hmm.
So now and then I remember to have a look in it, because sometimes people send us sweets or anthrax.
It is very dangerous to open things live on air. And
there was a small brown envelope addressed to Max. Just Max. It's not just paper. There is something.
There's something in it. It feels like a badge or something. We're going to open it on air.
Second class post.
It is a risk. And it's normally. Well,
I've got a biohazard suit on here.
It's normally an anti-climax.
We should really do this with one of those bomb disposal robots.
Okay. Because also, you might have to edit it out. It's a small letter.
So it's about a third of a.
It's page. Dear Max, thanks for your support and championing of the. There's a word that is. It begins with C and it's slightly rude, but it's not too rude. Can we use it or not?
Well, I don't know what the word is.
Okay,
it's not the C word.
No. I mean, it rhymes with rap. So anyway, there's a.
Okay.
Is that okay? Okay. But the point is, that's his Twitter handle. Is that word rap 90s football? Really appreciate it. He there's a guy who just tweets out really brilliant average football from the 90s, and he sent me a badge.
Oh,
so that's it. So it was an anticlimax.
Yes, it generally is.
But thank you very much. Thank you very
much. Would you have preferred if it was anthrax?
It would have got us some publicity, wouldn't it? That's what we're after, really, you know. Do you want the agenda for today's show?
Oh, I forgot to tell Cass.
Oh.
There's a bloke I know. You know, Joe's been on the show.
Yeah.
Young Joe, his father. Uh-huh. Joe is in China at the moment.
Okay. And is Cass a big deal in China?
I don't know. But Joe's father, Gavin, and his wife, Sue, regular listeners, they're taking the time while their pride and joy is away in China to go on holidays. So Gavin said, showed me, very excited yesterday, showed me, he you know the way you go on holidays and you bring six books to get you through the week or whatever.
Yeah.
He's brought one. He said, I'm not much of a reader, but I've got this book. And when I come back, I might get you to get Cass to sign. It was Cass's autobiography.
That of all the books, you'd get Cass to sign.
It would be that
that's
one.
That's the one
yeah,
you'd
yeah.
get. Oh, well, that's nice. It'd be nice for Cass. It'd be an ego boost for him.
Yeah, it's probably a couple of pounds as well. I don't know how much he gets.
Probably not £2.
The entire British and Irish Lions Tour of New Zealand 2017. Every kick, every crunch, every game. Throughout the summer, only on TalkSport.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the world's biggest sports radio station. It is Talk Sports. We'll chat Lions with Lewis Moody in just a second. Max and Barry are here. This is the Yannick Bolasie special. For reasons beyond anyone's control, Yannick couldn't make it. But we're not going to let that get in the way of the Yannick Bolasie special. And the show will be littered with features specifically for Yannick Bolasie, where Barry will play the role of Yannick Bolasie. On the subject of footballers standing you up, Lee Sharp was scheduled to attend our football team's charity fundraiser, charity in capital letters. Didn't show as he was jetting out to go on the old version of Love Island. Well, look, we've got Bolasie on the left wing, so Lee Sharp will have to play right wing and cut inside. And Paul says, Pele left me waiting in a Wetherspoons in Stockport for 2 hours. Apparently he said Southport. His English hasn't improved much over the years. Can we put Pele on the bench? Because lies will only go on the bench,
yeah,
I believe.
See, actually, someone tweeted out during the week the dress code for that particular chain of public houses. And
is that the one where you're not allowed to swear anymore?
No, it's a different one.
Okay.
I don't think that'll catch on, not being allowed to swear in public. But, the dress code was we insist that patrons remain fully dressed at all times and also ask them to wear shoes.
That's like that gym I once went to that said, had a big sign saying, please don't spit out the window. So signs there, people are doing it. Right, good win for the Lions. Two ways, I guess, you can look at it. Let's speak to the former Lions flanker, Lewis Moody. Lewis, good morning.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Two ways people are looking at this Lions victory. One, look, New Zealand don't lose test matches in New Zealand or anywhere really that often. So it's an amazing win. Or the Lions barely managed to beat a side who only had 14 men for an hour. What's the right way to look at this?
There's only one way you can look at it. This is New Zealand you're talking about. Yeah, and you quite rightly said, a team that doesn't often lose. In fact, you know, I think it's only been four matches they've lost under the current tenureship. So, you know, that is a remarkable achievement in its own right. You know, whether it's 14 men or whatever, whether Beauden Barrett misses three kicks a goal, they are in control of their destiny. They went out and outscored the All Blacks by two tries. You've got to remember that the All Blacks didn't score a single try. I mean, that is unheard of. They are a point-scoring machine who amass normally, on average, between 20 and 30 points a game, whatever team they play. So it is a remarkable achievement. Yes, it was a bit of a disappointment to lose Sonny Bill Williams, but it was the right call by the referee, and I'm glad he didn't shirk that responsibility, because a lot of refs over the years have sort of succumbed to the pressure of the New Zealand media and the public and the fans. But he did his job, and as disappointed as it was to see him leave the field, it was awesome to see a Lions victory.
Lewis, my way of looking at this game is that, oh God, now we've made them angry, they're going to slaughter us next week. I'm guessing the Lions won't be looking at it that way.
Do you know what? I mean, as an ex-player as well, I'm slightly nervous for the Lions, because, you know, there was that wry smile on Kieran Reid's face, the All Blacks captain, when he was giving his interview at the end, which said, you know, I'm really quite annoyed that we've lost that match, and I'm going to make sure we come back and do a proper job next week. But you would have to say that the momentum now lies firmly with the Lions. You know, I think mainly for me, because, you know, even prior to Sonny Bill getting sent off, the manner in which the boys went about playing the game, the endeavour, the speed of ball, you know, I think that Sexton-Farrell combination worked particularly well. And you saw the wingers, the fullbacks, you saw everyone getting their hands on the ball. Jonathan Davis giving, you know, little flicks out the back of his hand. The continuity of play and the game was akin to watching the All Blacks play, and the Lions were dealing it to the All Blacks. And that's what I enjoyed. But it will be one monumental match on Saturday. And I think the Lions, as Gallagher has already said, need to be prepared for a ferocious backlash from the All Blacks.
Warren Gatland made those changes, as you say, you know, Farrell and Sexton coming in. Does he have to be creative again, or does he just stick with this team as much as he can?
Do you know, it's an interesting one. You know, Sam Warburton, for me, should have been starting anyway, and he was one of the changes. He should have played that first test match. I thought his inclusion, you know, whether people write him off or not, he had a really solid test match. And so did one of the older stages, Alan Wynne-Jones. Again, maybe not as prominent with his ball carries and all that sort of stuff, but the amount of work he gets through. I know people are calling for Laws and Itoje to pair up together. And maybe Henderson to come onto the bench. But for me, having an old head like Jones in there, who just gets through so much unseen work, is imperative. But I would be reluctant to see any changes. I haven't heard the outcome of Sean O'Brien's disciplinary yet around the sighting on Naholo. But when we hear that, you know, that might be the only enforced change that Gatland would bring. You know, having the likes of Ben Teo on the bench, having Laws on the bench, having the little wrecking ball that is Carl Sinclair come on and dispense the ridiculous amount of energy and frosty that he has in those last 20 to 30 minutes of the match. And for all those plays, you know, I think it's a really strong bench that Lions can bring on. So tampering with it now after such a good performance, I think would be wrong.
Lewis, it seems a remarkable statistic that Sonny Bill Williams is, I think, the first All Black to get a red card in almost 50 years. Is that indicative of their good discipline, or indicative of the tremendous influence they have over referees during games? I'm thinking specifically about one Mr. Richie McCaw in that department.
Well, Richie was always one of the great exponents of the game, who could really blur the boundaries of what was legal and what wasn't. You know, it was not that Richie was a dirty player by any stretch of the imagination. Quite the opposite. He just technically was very good at making the refs not see the things that he was infringing upon. But, you know, you look back historically, I think New Zealand have only had three red cards. And I don't know the stats, but England wouldn't have a huge number more. I was always quite surprised when I found out as a player that I was the only Englishman ever to be sent off at Twickenham in 150 years. You know, there aren't.
I think I saw Mickey Skinner get sent off in Lansdowne Road one day against Ireland.
Well, Well, he was a particularly fierce competitor as well. You know, the days of those sorts of red cards for, you know, punch-ups and violence on the pitch are sort of well gone, really.
Is that what you got sent off? What did you get sent off for, Lewis?
Well, yes, it was, let's say, a small disagreement with Alessandro Tuolangi over how he dealt with a challenge on one of my colleagues.
Did you deserve to go?
Oh, 100%, yeah. You know, I threw, I don't know, roughly about 30 punches, I think. So I think
25's a yellow, isn't it? But 30. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? In football, when a team goes down to 10 men, they're actually quite hard to break down. And I sort of presumed that as soon as that sending off happened, actually the Lions were always going to win. But is it actually quite hard the way a team changes how they play when they're down to 14?
Well, very much so. Also, it was, you know, it's a loss in the back. So in the conditions they were playing, and actually the ball, it was very difficult to get the ball out wide. You know, the monsoon that sort of came down during the course of that match made the handling conditions very difficult. So, you know, the fact that the All Blacks had one less player really didn't make a significant difference in my mind during the course of the game. And actually sometimes, and you'll see in a lot of team sports, is that, you know, the loss of a player, and especially if they feel that it was a bit harsh, can really galvanise a team to put in a monumental and superhuman effort to put it right. And I think, I mean, you can look at boys. I mean, if you looked at the scoreline, you know, during the majority of that game, the Lions were behind. And actually, they could have been behind by significantly more if Beauden Barrett, that, you know, usually, ridiculously consistent kicker at goal, hadn't missed three kicks. You know, it would have been a very different circumstance they were facing. But the Lions can only deal with what was in front of them. They played the game to the absolute best of their ability, and they nailed it. You know, the game plan, the opportunities. You know, last week we talked about the missed opportunities. They saw five created chances that they didn't take. You know, last Saturday, they took every chance that was out there, and, you know, they created so much in such atrocious conditions. It was glorious to watch. What they need to be concerned about, though, is the number of penalties they allowed the All Blacks to have. You know, the number of chances they gave Beauden Barrett to keep them in the game. If they do that again next week, I can assure you the All Blacks will not make as many mistakes, and the Lions will see, you know, a different result if they give away that many penalties. It's about those cool heads, and you really need the likes of Sexton, Wyn Jones, Sam Warburton taking control of their team and saying, guys, we've got to stop this, otherwise we're going to be in a tough situation.
What chance do you give the Lions?
Do you know what? If you'd have asked me that before the test match on Saturday, I would have said virtually none, thinking with my head and knowing how successful New Zealand are in New Zealand historically across all their grounds. But having seen the way the Lions came out and played, I honestly think it is 50-50 now. You know, New Zealand will be nervous. Those players are well aware what this team are capable of. Maybe they went in slightly nonchalant, you know, naively thinking that it would be another walkover. And this Lions team, we're never going to take that line down. So, I'm genuinely excited for the match on Saturday. And what a perfect, you know, way to end the series as well. Go into that last test match with everything to play for and giving those travelling Lions supporters, of which they are just tens of thousands, who are really, you know, making their presence felt, something really to sing for and to cheer for.
Lewis, if New Zealand were to lose the series, what would the reaction over there be from their own fans?
Oh my goodness, I would not like to be in New Zealand if that was the case. You know, I mean, as a sportsman, or as I think as anyone in this country, we look at our media and think it can be particularly harsh on, you know, on our sportsmen or on anyone. But, you know, New Zealand is again different gravy. I mean, they are so used to winning, especially on a rugby field, that if they were to lose, you know, I think it would be...
It would, you know, be great, wouldn't it?
It would be for everyone else. Absolutely wonderful. But for all those players over there, yeah, they'd be wanting to pack their bags and go on holiday to Australia for about 12 months, I think.
Lewis, thanks so much for your time. Good morning, everybody. This is the world's biggest sports radio station. That's TalkSport. It's the warm-up. Max Rushton and Barry Glendening here until 2. We have a bonus hour today, or as Barry likes to call it,
the extra hour.
The extra hour. Oh, that's all right.
I was a bit distracted. The Tour de France started yesterday.
Oh, you like the Tour de France, don't you?
And they're doing that thing where they do an aerial shot from the helicopter of a nice chateau.
They're in Dusseldorf.
They're on their way from Dusseldorf to Liège. Okay. So
they're not in France
yet. Little bit of advice to any journalists.
following the tour today. Liège has the weirdest road system or network I've ever seen. If I hadn't had sat-nav when I was there...
You'd still be there.
I would still be in Liège, desperately trying to find a way out. Okay. Not that it's not a nice place.
It's quite specific advice there, Barry. You know, but that's okay. On the subject of footballers standing you up, this is the Yannick Bolasie special. For reasons beyond everyone's control, it couldn't happen today. It will happen in the autumn. Mel, formerly of TalkSport, has sent a tweet. Barry saying, when footballers stand you up when you're 8 years old and your dad makes you write to the paper about it, a local paper article headlined, "Support is a two-way thing." Over the past week, I've been hearing Norwich City skipper Matt Jackson pictured right on local radio asking for us fans for our support. It's a pity the players did not show their support at the Junior Canaries Christmas party when none of them showed up. You can just imagine wanting to go to that. When my dad asked why, he was told four of them were asked, two were injured and two forgot. So, look, we're going to blame Matt Jackson for that. But look, but we've already got Venison. Can Venison play centre-back?
Well, I think this might be a Norwich thing because someone else has tweeted in. As soon as you said Mel and Norwich, I thought it was going to be this. Ricky Van Wolfswinkel started to come through my checkout when I worked in Sainsbury's, and then his phone rang, so he stopped, had his conversation, and then went through self-service. Hopefully he didn't leave an unidentified object in the bagging area. Left me sitting looking like a right Muppet, autographed book in hand. And that's from Ben in Norwich. Now, maybe it's just a Norwich footballer thing. Or maybe Norwich fans are particularly needy. I don't know.
Josh says, way back in the 80s, I used to go to Bobby Charlton's soccer school in the summer halls. Bobby never showed up. Oh, dear. My friend Ben King was being held up by Bobby Charlton on the back of Panini 86 at a Bobby Charlton soccer school. So he did go to some, but he can still get into the central midfield. Now, look, the reason we're talking about being stood up by footballers is this is the Yannick Bolasie special. Yannick couldn't make it. But look, last week you came up with ideas for the Yannick Bolasie special. So it would be unfair of us to just discard them, Barry, wouldn't it? We should try these features. It is a
test run.
It's a disclaimer here that they may not work without Yannick. Right, because he was arguably quite an important part of the Yannick Bolasie special. But look, we've got three features here, and we've did some production on these, Barry. Okay.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. So okay. Look, let's try feature one. 6 o'clock already. I was just in the middle of a dream. Stick with it. Yannick. You can't teach that, can you? Have you just died a little bit, Barry?
I would just like to formally disassociate.
Hey, no, you're part of the whole show.
I didn't know you'd done that.
This feature was going to be forensically asking Yannick Bolasie about his Monday and exactly what he did from minute one to bedtime.
And I have to do it instead. Well, I have to be him.
Yeah. What time do you reckon?
So is it my Monday or his Monday?
Can we just do the next one? I don't want... I think we've established... Look, the tune was good. It reminds me, and I just don't know if I've got the will to do this, of a song that I made up for Michael Vaughan when I was at the cricket, where me and my friends had a few, and so we'd sang a song. And you've got to do this with conviction, okay? So, like, apologies. It's the grandstand theme, okay? Can you see where it's going?
No.
Do 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 Vaughan. So we did that about 1,000 times, and people around us asked us to leave. Right, let's do feature two. Yannick. On the streets of London,
Yannick. Now, there's a slight issue with this one, is that we haven't worked out exactly how this feature works yet.
Well, I thought we were going to read it out, just quote grid references from the A to Z, and here to try and guess what street it was.
On what, page 36, A4 of the A to Z?
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, it's a work in progress.
We could do that in September, and he now has time to, or sorry, autumn, whenever.
Yeah. He can learn it.
He can... Yeah, he can go and do the knowledge.
If you see Yannick on a moped going around London, you'll have known that he's really taking this seriously. And when he comes in, he'll know everything.
Okay. I think it takes 3 years to do the knowledge, but...
Well, he's rehabbing. He could at least do it, couldn't he?
Because, again, footballers just go on. As I say, there's the loneliness and the boredom of rehab.
Mm.
So, you know, you might as well go around on a moped with a little clipboard in front of you.
But his knee is sore. He'd have to have a special moped. He'd have to be in a sidecar, learning a long sidecar, so his leg could be out straight. So the two of us between us would have to do much of the driving. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Now here's the final feature. Israel says, great radio, Max. No, really, great radio. Thank you very much. That was obviously the theme from Lassie. Then what I was going to do is get like Doc Brown and Kevin Day and other famous Crystal Palace fans to come on.
Yeah.
And maybe De Boer, get him on
and
say, Lassie, come home and see if he said no or yes.
Okay. My idea, which I prefer for that, was to get one of us, through a series of barking noises, would have to convince him that there was a little boy trapped down a well, and then just by tugging at the cuff of his trousers with our teeth, try and steer him in the direction of that well so he could rescue the boy.
So listen, if you could tweet us at Max Rushton,
at Big Glendening. Remember I said a couple of weeks ago, we did a section of radio, and I said it was almost certainly the worst one we'd ever done.
The Ghana section?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we've
No, I don't think so.
No.
You have to do it with conviction. Big game of Cole Vass, Barry. Can't remember who won. Did I win last week?
Yes. I participated in three separate competitions last week and lost them all.
I'm so excited to see how good Yannick would be at this. Anyway. Kevin Horlock.
Alan Devonshire.
Trevor Peake.
Ian Brightwell.
David Brightwell.
David Hurst.
Lee Sinnott.
Mel Stirland.
Stuart Rimmer.
Bobby Mims.
Tony Parks.
Steve Anthropos.
John Hendry.
John Shijozi.
John McGinley.
Tosh McKinley.
Lloyd McGrath.
Billy McKinley.
Ian Butterworth.
Andy Ritchie.
Roger Palmer.
Mike Marshall.
Roger Joseph.
Gary Bannister.
Michelle Vonk.
Didier Six.
Rufus Brevett.
Richard Rufus.
Danny Maddox.
Steve Potts.
Dale Gordon.
Ian Bishop.
Ian Olney.
John Fleck.
Who?
Oh!
Ian Culverhouse.
Oh, no!
What have you done? What have you done? Series, I know it's the summer, Barry, but absolutely unacceptable. John Fleck.
John Fleck. I meant Robert Fleck.
Robert Fleck, John Beck, whoever you want, but you can't invent names. Seriously bringing Culverhouse into disrepute. When we'd already had the five-minute feature of Yannick Bolasie songs, which we realised halfway through wasn't what we might have hoped it would be. We needed high-quality broadcasting after that, Barry. Seriously. Have a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror. This is the warm-up on TalkSport.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, the warm-up with Max Rushton on TalkSport.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the world's biggest sports radio station. It's TalkSport. Max Rushton, Barry Glendening here until 2. It's the summer. We get a bonus hour. In a moment, we'll do Footballers Are Nice with sort of the best goalkeeping pundit expert there is at the moment, David Priest. A host of clubs will run through and we'll find out if he's nice in just a second. But some reaction to Culverhouse, Barry. Ben says if Barry has an ounce of dignity, he should do the honourable thing and retire from Culverhouse live on air. Paul says, to be honest, guys, not exactly as exciting as the Lions versus the All Blacks. John
could
Fleck,
could I just explain
ban him.
What
Sonny
happened.
Bill Williams suddenly looks tame. Epic Culverhouse says, Scott, schoolboy error from Glendening. This is why we need video refs. Steve says, Culverhouse game should be void. Andy Ritchie failed to register before the deadline. Michael Barry stuttered through a disappointing endgame. Hardly strong and stable. BCAFC, good job it's July. Barry can now be put on the transfer list. Paul says, take it seriously or don't bother laughing your way through the McGinleys, you big idiot. Get a grip. Eminem in grave print says, can we have a steward's inquiry on Barry playing two McGinleys in a row? Michael, Barry on the ropes
there
from
were different
10 seconds
McKinleys.
In. The Fleck inquiry is well underway. Heads will surely roll. John Fleck says, Chris, Barry needs to go away, get a good pre-season under his belt and come back with a better attitude. Jim, Barry, at least I didn't double Butterworth. Pathetic. Utterly pathetic. And Luke says, still have no idea after a year what the game is or the rules. Just a minute of names. I need a rules blog. The TalkSport.com/warm-up. Yes, Barry? You have a right to reply?
I meant to say Robert Fleck.
Okay.
But we'd been talking about Rangers just beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I got confused with his nephew, or his son, I think nephew, John Fleck.
Okay.
Who did... used to or still does play for Rangers.
He plays for Sheffield United now.
Oh, okay, right. Well, he used to play for
but
Rangers.
But still, you can't play him. You know, he's not, you can't play him.
You can't play him. I meant to play his Uncle Robert.
Okay.
But I got confused. I've got my summer cold and I didn't sleep very well.
Let's do Footballers Are Nice. Today's contestant, David Douglas Priest, goalkeeping expert, former goalkeeper. How are you, David?
I'm very well, gents. How are you?
Yeah, good. Well, Barry's sort of let himself down in the last few minutes, if we're honest. And
I'll be honest, I've let myself down in the last 34 years or so.
I was going to say not for the first time.
No, certainly not.
Now, David, this feature is called Footballers Are Nice. And we've been doing it now for nearly four seasons, I think. And it's just an opportunity, because footballers get a bad press, David, sometimes, from certain areas of the media. And we believe that there are nice ones out there. And so we forensically investigate to find out if you're nice or not, okay? Okay, so the way we do this is by asking you a very technical question, David Priest. Born the 26th of August, 1976, represented Sunderland, Darlington, Aberdeen, Silkeborg, IF, Barnsley, Lincoln, Keflavik, Lincoln again. Are you nice?
I try to be, yes.
Okay.
I try not to disgrace myself during my football career, but mostly on the pitch that did happen, I'm afraid.
Now, do you do anything nice? Because in the gamut of niceness, we've had players with their own charity foundations, not just for tax reasons. We've got players who've promised to start their own foundations, Johnny Jackson, under the pressure of live radio, Michael Duff, who gives 10p to a tramp when he walks by, and Mickey Quinn, who asked for money for himself. So, on that spectrum, where would you put yourself?
How about I always try and buy a big issue when I walk past somebody.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, I don't think I was quite well known enough to start my own foundation, really.
And
how often do you succeed in buying it? I mean, do you give it a really good try?
You make it sound really difficult, the purchase of a big issue. Or do you sometimes get to the end of the month and you've got like 25 big issues and you kind of only really need one?
Well, I mean, there's a guy who sells it, a guy called Jimmy in the centre of Lincoln, outside a cafe near one. I have a little chat with him every time I go past and buy one off him now and again and buy him a cup of tea. So that's probably the extent of my niceness, I think.
Okay. No, I think that's good enough. And that means you've qualified, David, to answer 15 unconnected questions. Okay. David Priest, if Barry and I were to come for dinner, what would you cook for us?
Well, do you know what? I've only cooked this one time, but it was absolutely superb, and it was swordfish with capers and cherry tomatoes on top.
Get out. This is the hipster footballer there, isn't
well,
it?
Well, he is. I think anyone who follows Preeti on Twitter will know he's a bit of a hipster.
That's glorious.
Swordfish.
Don't be fooled by the beard, though. I had the beard long before they came trend.
I'm on a real caper kick at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I buy cans of capers. I just eat them straight out of the can.
Such a disgusting insight.
I'm not sure how it happened.
I've eaten them since, to be honest.
But, God, they're lovely. And I melt them into everything whenever I'm cooking. So I'm in. Swordfish and capers. I'm in. Yeah. If you were coming to our house for dinner, David, and we asked if there was anything in particular you didn't want to eat, what would you say?
That's a tough one, you know, because I can eat anything. I'll quite happily eat anything, but anything that's rarely meat, I don't like. I like my meat well done.
Okay, not as hipster as we thought.
No.
Do you do your own laundry?
Sadly, not as much as what I probably should.
Okay, all right, it's all right. We can all improve.
When did you last take public transport, David? Like a bus or a train?
I'm always doing it down London. I was over in New York a couple of weeks ago, so all the time, yeah. Okay. No problem with that. Yeah.
What's your favourite insect? Fellow Goalkeepers Union man Pat Jennings struggled with this. Emmanuel Frimpong said antelope. So, but it's open to you. There are many insects. You can have spiders if you want, even though specifically they are an arachnid.
What about a dragonfly? That's a cool insect.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's the debut for the dragonfly as well.
Again, I'm saying the hipster choice.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I'm only going off a cartoon I used to watch when I was younger. Was it, it was Catch the Pigeon or something like that? Was it Catch the Pigeon?
Catch the Pigeon, with Dastardly and Muttley. Was there a dragonfly in that?
Was there a dragonfly in that? No.
Well, there was the Anthill Mob.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, look, you don't have to give your reasoning. It's just a straight question. You've given us a straight answer and we're happy with it.
There we go. Dragonfly.
My turn. Do you own...
Barry's on the beach. He really is. Flip-flops on.
He's clearly affected by his performance, isn't he?
Do you own a onesie, David Priest? And if so, do you wear it?
No, and I've never worn one. I've never owned one.
Would you wear one? If someone gave you, like, a Scooby-Doo onesie with ears and a tail, would you wear it?
No.
Okay. What's your favourite cheese?
It's too restrictive, I think, anyway.
Yeah, no, I see that. I see that. What's your favourite cheese? That's not the only reason why you wouldn't wear a Scooby-Doo onesie, I hope. But anyway, what's your favourite cheese, David?
Oh, this is a good one. I like my cheese. I like a really strong cheddar, a really strong mature cheddar.
Yeah, good.
There's one called White Fox that's really nice.
Oh, good. I might write that down.
Max is now writing down White Fox.
Yeah, I like it. You know, up to 7 on the cheddar scale. I'm a big fan.
You're on death row, David. Sorry about that. 1 hour to go. Which TV show would you settle down to watch?
Do you know what? I watch that much football. It would have to be something to do with... It would have to be just Match of the Day, something like that.
Okay. I think that's fine. That's a good answer. Mine would be Love Island now, but, you know, I'm trying to lose this affliction. If you could eat one fruit, only eat one fruit for the rest of time, David, what would it be?
Oh, the mango, without doubt, every day of the week.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah, great choice.
How many toilets do you have, David?
Three.
Three, okay. Sort of lower mid-table. Mark Schwarzer has 9.
Yeah, well, that shows the gulf in class between the two of us when we're playing, really.
That's how Neville and Carragher should, when they're judging players, I should say, well, that's, you know, there's a six toilet difference between Schwarzer and Priest. you know, in their
football. I think, especially with goalkeepers, you know, the analysis, that's where it should come down, really.
Mm, I think so.
Well, goalkeeping analysis is you're really making a name for yourself doing that now, David. I mean, that
well,
this
more
is
so
your
than when I was
thing.
Playing. Yeah, well, I just think it's when I stopped playing, when I retired, I did a journalism degree and I started writing, doing a bit of work in the media, and I was doing all sorts. I was doing furniture, mid-century design furniture, Danish design furniture, fashion, things like that. I just thought I'd focus on something that I actually know about and that I know what
so
I'm talking
about. So, goalkeeping errors.
Basically, yes. Right.
Did you? What's the sort of most ornate piece of furniture that you designed, David?
Oh, no, I mean, I didn't design. I just really liked it. When I was playing demo for 4 years, and I just there's a guy who owned a cafe and a furniture shop. And when my daughter was born, as a present, he gave me Arne Jacobsen No. 7 chair. And just from then on, I just sort of bought books on it and just read up on it, and I'm just fascinated by it. I just love looking at it.
So you're basically the Lovejoy of the football world. Not that Lovejoy.
You mentioned
Lovejoy.
That name. Where are we at? Do you have more televisions than David O'Leary? He once boasted to Tony Cascarino that he had 11.
Oh, no. I've got two. That's it.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. I've only got one pair of eyes.
What kind of pants do you prefer, Dave? Boxers, jockeys, tight, loose? Commando, like John Harrison and Perry Groves?
I prefer a proper wide front from Marks and Spencers.
Okay, good. Are you better looking than the former West Brom defender Jonas Olsen?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think he's that good looking, to be honest with you. He's got lovely hair, though.
He does, yeah.
He's got far better hair. Yeah, he probably wins on hair, I think, because he's got some hair. So.
I'd go with you. I have to say, on that one.
Yeah, the thing about that is nobody knows what's under this beard, or nobody can remember what's under this beard. So I'm afraid to take it off in case there's like sort of multiple chins underneath it or something.
Right.
I do the same, actually. Do you smell nicer than Michael Carrick?
Yes, I do. Oh. I don't know what he smells like, but I pound with Penny and I smell better than him.
Okay. Why? Do you put a lot of work into your fragrance?
I wear a nicer aftershave than him.
Okay.
It was a present from a girlfriend. But...
Okay, good.
And finally, David Priest, are you nicer than Linvoy Primus?
Nobody in the whole wide world is nicer than Linvoy Primus.
Is the right answer. Thank you so much. Yeah, hey, David, did you have a nice time?
I had a great time. You know, what more could I be doing on a Sunday afternoon than speaking to two fine gentlemen like you?
Thank you very much. Thanks so much for coming on. 3 toilets, 2 televisions, a 3-2 win for the toilets there, and an expertise in Danish furniture design. They're the kind of things I want to learn about footballers. Yannick would have taken that, wouldn't he? If Yannick had been here, he would have then become a furniture designer.
Or a restorer.
Mm, yes.
I've always quite fancied trying my hand at that.
Or re-upholstering chairs.
Yeah. Something like that.
Do you know, on the subject of Johnny Jackson, and we were talking about...
And his non-existent foundation.
Yeah, so he's doing stuff with Prostate Cancer UK. You know, Dominic Cork was on last week, and we sort of talked in slightly graphic terms about those kind of investigations, because men are hopeless at talking about them, and we should just keep banging on about it. So if you're not sure... and I got myself tested last week, and Barry, you mentioned it, and a man from Prostate Cancer UK emailed me to say... We could get Barry to, you know, we could sort that out. Maybe you could...
On the Facebook feed?
We could record. Would you do it live?
No.
Why not? Would you film it on your phone? Just your face?
No.
Why not? But that's the whole, you know, there is a, you know, obviously I'm being facetious.
Yes, you
but
are.
But it would be a good thing to show that actually it's, you know, it's not such a bad
all right,
thing.
Sure. Let's go for it.
Film it and then we'll put it on.
No, we're not filming my prostate exam.
Why not? Why?
Some things just aren't...
I think Richard. I think
a man and his doctor.
I think Richard Blackwood did it on This Morning.
Didn't he go on some sort of detox show where you various things happen? Oh, colonoscopy. Yeah.
No, colonic irrigation. I'm not sure. Anyway,
well, Boyzone was on as well.
Was he?
Yeah.
But listen, I'll work on you with that, Barry, because I think that's good.
No, it's not going to happen. I am not broadcasting.
8:10:89 if you would like that to be broadcast on the warm-up.
I don't think anyone would, really.
No, we'd just put, it's just making it, it's just good to talk about it. That's what I'm saying. And he was in touch, and something might happen with Johnny Jackson this season, hopefully. Which in a way would be good because it would raise some money. In a way it wouldn't because...
Are you saying that Johnny Jackson is going to conduct my prostate exam?
I think that's what we need.
Live
Why
Facebook
not?
Feed.
Why not? If not, it will be a series of ex-Charlton footballers. you can pick the Charlton Athletic player, Johnny Robinson, Clive Mendonca, whoever you want.
Gonna get Richard Ruford.
Bob Boulder, whoever you want who's representing Charlton Athletic. That's who we can use.
And would Kerbs be on the sideline?
Sean Bartlett. Yeah, Kerbs would obviously be there. Yeah.
Instructing them what to how to do it with a series of hand gestures.
Talk Sport. Upgrade your entertainment.
Have any of you ever considered buying a racehorse?
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM. Tested to thrill.
1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Is that better?
Talk Sport.
Oi! Did someone leave this transfer window open? You've only gone and let Jim White back in.
Hello. Tomorrow morning from 10, radio's number one transfer window troubadour returns to the airwaves in a brand new bright blue suit and canary-coloured cravat.
This is brilliant.
All the latest news, the rumours and the boardroom business from every club delivered direct to you with Jim's trademark upbeat positivity.
I'm loving this.
Tomorrow morning from 10, only on TalkSport.
Brilliant.
Worth more, Barry, if you wanted to sign someone for Sunderland in the window, Gary Lineker or Jonathan Ross?
I'd say Ross.
Ross, 24 million. Lineker, 30 million.
It's all the crisp money.
What about O'Leary or Berry? Mary Berry or Dermot O'Leary? Who would you want to lead the line for Sunderland?
I wouldn't have thought. O'Leary's on the rich list.
He's on the rich list, yeah. 12 million.
Really?
Berry's more, 15.
Are you on it? Well, I mean, I'd have put you in the same
as Dermot O'Leary. He's been hosting X Factor for about 20 years.
Well, you know, you're about the same age.
Yes.
One's... Bland, you know, vanilla. Not much of a sense of humour, vanilla, shiny floor show.
Yeah, but he's
not nowhere near as funny as either of you think you are. Yeah,
but he has viewers.
Okay, yeah, right.
There we are.
Be really upset if you were on that list, so I'm glad you're not.
No, I'm not on it.
Is that because you keep like your money offshore?
Not just like...
Are you avoiding tax?
No, I'm not.
Have you aggressively avoided tax?
No, I haven't. If anyone investing into a film company, no.
You just produce bad television shows, not bad movies.
Yeah, I'm not. Let's do guess the attendance. Today, top journalist, as you there, investigative journalist, proving it there, takes on top comedian Justin Morehouse. Justin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Got a couple of bones to pick with you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
First of all, when I'm sort of waiting to come on and you two have like a massive chat,
yeah,
I feel like insignificant.
Oh, I see. Do you want us to bring this in straight away?
I feel impotent. I feel like, you know, that the old, you know, unicorn and orgy type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Had you something witty to chip in there, Justin?
To be honest with you, I was going to steer it in a different direction.
Oh, I see.
Is Justin on the rich list?
He's not in this, no.
Let's play Guess the Attendance in a different way. Do you want to play Guess the Attendance in a different way?
No.
Guess the Attendance for the Birmingham Old Rep Theatre next Saturday when I'm performing for the final time this spring summer leg of my tour. Not enough, that's right. So let me take this opportunity to say tickets are available. I've just released some more.
Oh, great.
You've hardly sold any, so you say, there's a small number available. We've released some more.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Final production seats released.
Oh, well, next week we'll play, maybe that will be in, because we don't choose what the attendance is. We've had an anonymous text that just says 28,000, ? So the listeners are eager to get on with this, so let's begin.
Yeah.
Germany under-21s 1, Spain under-21s 0, the European under-21 final at the Stadion Krakowia in Krakow. How many were there, Justin?
35,000.
Barry.
I'm saying he's overshot. I'm going to say 24.
14,059. A 1-0 lead for Barry.
That's indicative of modern football, isn't it? You know, let's support these kids.
Yeah.
New York Red Bulls versus New York City. The New York Derby at the Red Bull Arena. A 2-0 win for New York City. Well done to New York on all fronts, and commiserations to New York. But what was the score? I mean, no. That's why Dermot's ahead of me in the rich list, isn't he? What was the attendance? Barry, you go first.
I will say 31,420.
Okay. Justin?
36,000.
25,219.
2-0.
2-0 up, Barry. Okay. Big pressure on you now, Justin. Germany 4, Mexico 1 at the Fish Olympic Stadium in Sochi, in the Confederations Cup. How many were there? Germany 4, Mexico 1.
Is it me?
Yeah.
24,000.
All right.
Barry?
Now, I happen to know Mexico brought quite a large crowd to this tournament.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, you can't do research.
And I happen to know that Germany brought hardly anyone.
Okay.
So I'll go...
What did you say,
I'm
Justin?
What did I say? I didn't know that information.
Okay, well, I think you said 24,000, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'll give you. You can change your mind if you want.
Oh, this is unprecedented.
No, I'm not playing that game.
Barry, what are you going? Justin's sticking with his 24,000.
Okay, because if he changed his mind, I was going to go with 24,000. I'll go 24,001.
Right, well, I'm going to change my game then, 24,002.
Oh, this...
Do you want to change again, Barry?
This is anarchy.
Now, this is now just counting, which is a feature we've done before.
I'm going to stick with 24,001, and I will leave
I'm going to stick with 24,002.
37,923 is a controversial point for Justin, but it keeps the game alive.
That's what we all want.
Okay.
It's not what I want.
Into the Europa League, Ibrox, no green boots on show. Rangers 1, Progress Niederkorn 0. How many were there? Barry?
I'm going to guess that was probably full.
Okay.
And I could be completely wrong. I'm going to go 44,000.
I think it holds more than that. I think it's full as well. 44,500.
48,681. It's 2-2. It's just so exciting, this. I love it.
Hold on, Justin, if I hadn't said I'm going to say... think it was probably full. Would you have gone as high?
Do you know what? I knew it was full because I had a torturous pun going around my head going, you know, Rangers, Progress, you know, a full stadium, that's what you want, you know. But I knew, I'd heard it was full. I hadn't heard the numbers, I'd heard it was full.
Okay, good. Okay. So finally, we go to the Westpac Stadium, New Zealand 21, the British and Irish Lions 24.
Oh.
To even the series. A fantastic win for the British and Irish Lions. New Zealand had a man sent off early in the game and the Lions stuttered in the second half but eventually came through, scored 2 tries. New Zealand's naught. New Zealand not had a man sent off for 620 years. But how many were there? We all know the British and Irish Lions have taken a lot of fans out there to New Zealand. How many were in the Westpac Stadium? Barry, you guess.
I watched this game.
Okay, that should help you. Did you see the crowd?
I watched this game and across my mind it would come up and guess the attendance.
Okay.
And I was trying to look to see how many tears there were in the stand, but I couldn't quite.
Well, there was plenty at the full-time whistle on the All Blacks face.
Now, Eden Park last week was considerably smaller in capacity than I thought. I'm going to say Westpac's bigger because it's Wellington. I'm going to say... 65,000.
Justin.
Mate, I think you're way out there. I think you're so far out there, it's unbelievable.
So you're going to go bold or go dirty?
40,000.
38,931 from 2-0 up.
Big.
From 2-0 down. Justin, that's a tremendous performance. How do you feel?
It's a hollow victory, though, isn't it? Because we bend the rules in the middle.
Yeah,
but, I mean that's what mid-season's for, isn't it? For trying video refs and new rules and rolling kickoffs and things like that.
But you like the All Blacks, Justin. You take it to the very edge of legality, but you don't cross that line.
It's better to get forgiveness and permission, isn't it?
Justin, we'll speak to you next week.
Take care, everybody. Look after yourself.
Take care. Look after yourselves. We're back in a minute.
Move over, football. Here comes the rugby. The entire British and Irish Lions Tour of New Zealand 2017. Throughout the summer, exclusively on TalkSport.
This is TalkSport, also live on my Facebook page, facebook.com/AMaxRush. And Donna says, give a Facebook listeners a shout out, Max and Barry.
I just get the Facebook watchers or viewers a big yawn.
So good for you.
Sorry about that.
We
you
are
just
here
told
to...
me yeah? that you're off to Galway.
Yeah, do you know what? I Googled how close Burr was to see if I could just turn up at your parents' house and send you a photo of me with Mr. and Mrs. Glendenning.
It's about 50 miles.
Oh,
it's only like less than an hour's drive.
Shall I pop in?
If you want.
Okay. Quite interesting to see.
Glendenning Towers?
Yeah.
I think you'd be impressed.
Would I?
Yeah. I think you'd be surprised.
Would they be proud of you if I said, are you proud of Barry?
No.
Okay. Look, we're doing the time tunnel now, Barry. It's the Yannick Bellassi special today. For reasons beyond anyone's control, Yannick couldn't make it for his own special. But we're going to do that in the autumn. But in the meantime, we're going to do a Yannick Bellassi time tunnel special.
Oh.
Okay. Joe, Quizmaster, has joined us. How are you, Joe? You ready?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, very good. So we're the old school of the time tunnel, which is question and a piece of music.
Musical
and we
clue.
Guess the year.
You do
okay.
Indeed.
So look, you're in charge now. Tell us, you can decide who goes first.
So Barry's going to go first today.
Oh, okay.
So as usual, four questions. Mm-hmm. Barry, first question. Did you know Yannick Bellassi plied his trade in Malta for a short time? You do now. In fact, he played 24 games for the Maltese Premier League side, Floriana. But can you tell me when he made his debut for the Greens? Here's a toe tapper from the same year. It is the Arctic Monkeys.
Right. Now, they were... Kids were down with the Arctic Monkeys. In Yannick Bellassi playing in Malta.
In Malta.
So he was obviously like on loan to get experience or something. Oh man, I have a clue. I'll go 2004.
That's the wrong answer.
I've written on my piece of paper 2009.
Again, the wrong answer. No, it was 2007.
Okay, fascinating.
So that's 0-0 after one question.
Give me another Bellassi question.
Okay, another...
Hit me with your Bellassi stick.
Yeah,
Yannick is a big fan of grime music.
Okay.
In fact, he was once... He made a rap battle with a fellow pro, Bradley Wright Phillips, okay. of Major League Soccer fame.
Yeah.
But can you tell me when they filmed that battle? Here is another musical clue.
Okay. Over you. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. This is George Ezra, is that it?
It is George Ezra.
And what's it called? Budapest.
Budapest.
Okay, right. Like that song, Barry?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. I think it was just overexposure.
Okay, fine.
Like now Ed Sheeran's Galway Girl.
Okay. 2014.
Nail on the head.
Yes, come on.
1-0 to Max after two. Okay. Barry, your question, three.
Big pressure, Barry.
Yep. Yes, so our friend Yannick mm-hmm. has been the subject of a few transfers now, including a move from Crystal Palace to Everton for a fee believed to be around £25 million. But I want to know when he made his controversial move from Plymouth to Bristol City, a sweet track from the same year. Mm.
Weller.
It is.
And...
Like the B-side to Broken Stones.
Yeah.
Mm.
Who was that? It wasn't Paul Weller, was it?
It was Rihanna.
Ah, Rihanna. Hi, if you're listening.
With Calvin Harris.
Ah, Calvin Harris is in the rich list. How much do you reckon he's worth?
Can I answer that instead of this question?
No, you can do this. This is just
I'm going a lot. I'm going 54
million. 120
million.
Unbelievable. Anyway.
So Yannick moved from Plymouth to Bristol City.
He did.
That upset Plymouthonians, I presume, or Gillians. Yeah.
But not much. It's not like going to Exeter, is it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeovil. That. I hadn't realised Yannick. I really hadn't researched Yannick for the Yannick Bellassi special. I didn't realise he played in Malta or for Plymouth or for Bristol City.
It's good we're doing this dry run before he actually comes in, isn't it?
Yeah.
He'll be scared we know so much about him.
He'll find it slightly sinister. Yeah. Oh, man, I'll go 2000... What age is Yannick?
You can't ask questions like that.
Oh, Yannick, I wish he was here and then he could tell me, give me clues. 2010.
It's the wrong answer.
I've written 2012.
It's the wrong answer. It's 2011.
Oh, there we go. We were both close. Okay, so this isn't my question.
Yes, so final question. All question right. Four for
Matt. So if I get it, I win 2-0. It does pass over to you, Barry, if I don't get it right. And there'll be a draw and then we'll have a replay after the news.
Yeah, question four. Obviously, you'll be well aware of this already, but Yannick was in fact born in the French city of Lyon before moving to England as a child. Can you tell me what year he moved to London?
Oh.
One final tune to help you along.
Okay. Stone Roses, it's going to be 1993.
Unfortunately not. Barry, to save the game.
1996.
It's the wrong answer.
Damn it!
It was 1989.
Was it?
Yes.
God.
Oh, same year he was born.
What's the tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker. Mm. Finally, the tiebreaker. Can you tell me how many Premier League appearances friend of the show Yannick Bellassi has made?
71.
Barry?
72.
Well, Barry would have won that one. It was 112.
Is so it really?
It's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, now we've learned some stuff. Thanks very much, Joe. They were the best bits. If you didn't like them, I'm really sorry, but it's too late now. Please leave us a review on the iTunes. There are some really good ones, and I will read them out next week, I promise, because it will fill up some time, if nothing else. Cheers, bye.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, The Warm-Up with Max Rushton on Talk Sport.